Welcome to the War Report on Public Education. The future of education is an important concern for our time. Where it's heading, how it's evolving, and the influence corporate America has on its outcome. The War Report on Public Education provides critical news, analysis, and perspectives on the what, why, who, where, when, and how of both the new corporate state elites campaign, the Machiavellian agenda to destroy the nation's public education system, and the rising public resistance movement to defend and defeat this Machiavellian agenda. And now, here is our host, Dr. James Avington Miller, Jr.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this week's edition of the War Report. We're going to turn back the hands of time a little bit here and go back to around 2013 and then come forward. And you'll get that when I get into the show. Again, if you got our promotion, you know today's show is entitled Under the Radar, the Youth Resistance to Neoliberalism. And within that description that I put out, sort of posed a number of questions. And if you look at the questions carefully, you can get a sense of my answers to those questions. You can definitely get a sense of my tone and my, so I keep wanting not to say attitude, but basically that's what I'm referring to. And those, the show, I'm saying that we're going to look under the radar at the youth resistance to corporate and state privatization of public education, privatization of everyone, the privatization of everything. Now, that's pretty broad. We start off with the privatization of public education, which is what this show is all about. But also what this show is about is trying to make people aware of that what is happening to public education, the privatization of public education, is just one piece of the pie. And you've heard me say this over and over again for going on 4 years now, that there's a war that's going on, which the objective of the people who are prosecuting this war is to eventually privatize everyone and everything. And remember, I would always say, when I say privatization, you think ownership and control. That's right. Ownership and control of people, earth, and all that's included in those two concepts. So even though our focus is always on public education, never forget that we're just a sliver or a small theater in this overall war. And also, if you got the promotion, and for those of you who didn't, I raised some questions here. And what I'll go back and I'll explain what I meant by under the radar and then the youth resistance. But the questions that I raised was, can our young people be our heroes? Can their grouping together be the resistance movement that their adult counterparts have failed to create? Can our youth save public education, democracy, humanity, the planet before it's too late? And will adults unite with them, the youth, to form a more powerful and united resistance movement? Now, that's a lot. Well, hopefully when I'm done, you'll get the idea that there is a potential groundbreaking resistance work that the young people are engaged in. And you get, hopefully, the notion that we here at War, we say they are our hope, our future. And from that song, We Are the World, they are the world. Now, that's a lot. So let me get into it in terms of under the radar. We don't get from the media sources what the youth are doing as relates to this war on public education, humanity, democracy, the planet. When we get reports about the youth, many times they are negative reports. Casting the youth, when I say youth, I'm talking about children, adolescents, young adults, college age students, up to say 22 to 25, down as far as preschool. We hear about what the youth are doing as relates to destruction of their own lives, destruction to property, to other humans, their apathy, their all kinds of the more or less negative stereotypes about today's youth. We don't hear that often, or definitely not consistently, about what the youth of our nation and also across the globe here are doing to fight against the privatization of public education, privatization of humanity and the planet. We rarely hear about what they are doing in those areas. That's what I am referring to under the radar, is the lack of coverage, the lack of reporting about what the youth of our nation are doing to try and help make this a better world for themselves and for everyone. That has been, what I just said, has been one of my pet peeves forever, since I have said previously, I got all excited about studying sociology, psychology, social psychology, because I was interested in the concept of socialization. And for those of you maybe who have missed some of what I had to say about that, socialization is the idea that we are all born into a family, a culture, a society, and that it's that family or other agents, family being, quote, an agent in this situation, the schools, the community, your church, your government, et cetera, are all agents of socialization. That is, training us to be able to fit in to our society in a way that is supportive and consistent with, quote, the values, the goals, the vision, the means of our society at that time. Basically, socialization is to produce a bunch of conforming young adults, when they get to that age. And so I've always been extremely interested in this notion of socialization, and studying the areas that I have studied that touch on socialization, it's nothing for me to bring this to the war on public education and to bring it to the bigger concept of the neoliberalism agenda the Machiavellian agenda that we're talking about. And so I'm always looking for stories, research that casts some light on what those who are in the socialization process are up to, how well they've been socialized to conformity, and how well they've been socialized to be deviant to the standard conformity pattern. Hope that makes sense to everyone. And so, looking at my notes over the last few years and decided to come up with today's show, was that, and some of those questions laid out to you, I'm raising questions here. What are our youth doing that we don't know about because the media is not exposing us to what's going on? And as it relates to education, and this is the wonderful thing for me, that they're doing a lot that we don't know about, that's under the radar. And they have been for a while. As I mentioned just a moment ago, around 2013 is when my research started discovering a lot of chatter in the form of articles, posts, some research from universities, et cetera, about the youth movement. In fact, and it was in 2013 that an article came out that talked about, are we experiencing here in America what some people were calling American education spring, a growing revolt against corporate state, philanthropic ed reform. I just added that last part there. And what they were referring to was that, if you remember, the Arab Spring, where the people started to rebel, and in numbers that no one expected, no one had anticipated, and it created this movement that led to some temporary colossal changes in the Middle East and some of the countries there. And people were saying here in the United States, looking at some of the things that were happening then, they were saying, are we now witnessing the potential of an America education spring? We're looking at the various things that youth are doing across the country, and do the individual things add up to the making of a revolt, the making of a social movement? And I would ask you, individuals, have you been aware of the youth involvement in the war on public education? And if so, how extensively have you been aware of said involvement? I'll go back to the war report when we came on the air in February 2014, and then the Chicago, remember the Chicago Teachers Union strike, and how that got tons and tons and tons and tons of coverage. What lost in that coverage was the role that the youth played in the huge turnout supporting the teachers' union strike. Lost in that, maybe not as much, but you saw the adults who were the parents of said students and maybe relatives, friends, etc., turning out. We didn't see a tremendous focus on the youth role in supporting that strike. We got a lot about the teachers and the leadership, but not about the youth. They were a prominent group in the success of that movement. But let's fast forward to 2013. 13 and coming forward. There were a lot of things, because I started to say here on War Report, we came on in 2014, and then 2015, you guys remember the students in Newark, New Jersey, and their actions that they took when they occupied the superintendent's office for a day or two or more? They're marching down the streets of Newark. Do you remember that? That got some attention. We here at the War Report, we were very fortunate in that some of the leaders of the student union were in direct contact with us as things were being planned and they were evolving and actually taking place. So, and we broadcast as much as we could. We had students on the show, several shows. And then you remember also what was happening in Philadelphia, the student union in Philadelphia. They became very active and started doing some of the things that have been done previously by either students or adults, what have you. And that got some attention, but it faded very quickly in terms of the media coverage of it. And also here on War Report, remember 2016, the off-year election here in Buffalo. We had on the show a young man with 18, a senior in high school, and he ran for school board election against what they tell me here in Buffalo, the city's only potential, I think, and I'm saying this because I'm not sure what I'm about to say is correct, not a billionaire or close to being a billionaire school board member. And he lost, the student lost, but only by, as I recall, about 140 votes. Then there was a student in Pennsylvania we talked about who ran for the school board. And then there are other places where high school students or students right out of high school were running for school board. These are the kinds of things that didn't get national attention. These are the sort of things that if they didn't give them attention, they either brushed them under the rug or played it down as opposed to playing it up, I guess is what I'm trying to say here. And there, from 2013 coming forward, I'm going to cite some examples around the country in terms of student involvement and either protesting on their campus or protesting about what's happening in their city or in their state. And what I want you to be aware of, and I'll try to remember to say something as I go through each of my examples, is that listen to what the students were protesting against, what their movement was about. And you'll discover that there are a wide variety of social issues that they took to the street, or they occupied campus space, or they challenged this board of education or the state education program. And the reason I want you to hear this and recognize it when I mention it is that I've been saying here for 3.5 years that it's a shame, in my opinion, that teachers, and I consider myself a teacher, have not taken a leadership position, not the union, teachers have not taken a leadership position in protesting, starting a large-scale movement to defend public education. And in doing so, I've constantly have said, our natural allies are students, the parents of the students, the other family members of the students, past alumni, that if we had, in the very beginning of this war, realized that it was a war, and individually, collectively, started forming a movement, growing a movement, I don't think we would be in the position that we are today, because we could have gotten millions of people to get involved. And the bottom line that I'm going to point out as we go along was that listen to the broad platform and the various planks that the students were forming their protests, their movements against. It wasn't just education issues, much broader in many instances. Okay. So the education spring that some were talking about in 2013 never materialized. If you understand and remember what took place in the Middle East, never came anywhere close to it. It's a tragedy, in my opinion, that we never did. Some of the things that the youth activists have got involved and became active was in the area of they're very much concerned about school surveillance. And they're resisting having cameras everywhere, having metal detectors, having what is called resource officers or cops in their schools. They are resisting all kinds of things that relates to education. They're resisting now the high-stakes testing regimen. They're resisting the, in some places where the state has decided that in order for you to get your diploma, you have to pass X exams or exams, that your grades that you've gotten in coursework over the last 3 to 4 years are not indicative of whether or not you are ready to graduate or you was college and career ready. So these are the things. But also, students are rallying, sitting in, protesting on behalf of teachers, on teachers being fired based upon test scores, on teachers having to teach to the test. There are also school closures, school takeover turnarounds. Not just what affects teachers, but what affects them, the students directly, and their community, and their futures. I'm pointing all this out because this is major here. When teachers go on strike, in the past, of course, it's always about working conditions, their working conditions, about pay, about things pertaining to them. Now, in Chicago, when the teachers went on strike, they were clever enough to say, oh, we are also striking for the poor conditions that we have to teach in, the poor conditions that our students have to endure when they come into the school, come into the classroom. So we're not just striking to improve our profession and our individual situation. We're striking because also of or on behalf of the students, their concerns, their needs. And I've said this so many times that when they did that, that was a direct counterattack on the old argument that teachers and a teachers union were greedy. Teachers only worked 9 months a year, a few hours a day, 5 days a week, and all the vacation time during the school year, and the sick leave, and the maternity leave, and no contribution to their own health care, and et cetera. Teachers just a bunch of greedy bastards and bitches. That has been the standard argument against teachers from I don't know when. But the teachers in Chicago turned that argument on its head by saying that their strike was as much about what was happening to the students. Hence, what do you do when you get students as the issue? You get their parents. You get their family. You get their neighbors. All involved. Compare this. I'm thinking of that one instant. I'm sure after Chicago, other teachers and the unions across the country have learned that, oh, that was a pretty successful movement when they broaden it to include issues pertaining to students, issues pertaining to the parents, issues pertaining to the community. I'm trying to draw a contrast here in terms of from what I have learned from the students and their movement and what they have gone on protests, movements for, has always been broader than what teachers and unions have complained about. So, before I go any further, just got a note here saying that I need to give out the call-in number. Apparently some people are potentially interested in calling in. And that number is 1-888-627-6008. Let me repeat. 1-888-627-6008. Someone said they have to call in on the other station number and they couldn't get to. Okay, now, let me give you some examples here. Going back in time and coming back up to the date, North Carolina, where the students blockade the state Republicans and try to defeat the, and remember, North Carolina has gerrymandered the voting districts to the point where they have a solid lock on maintaining Republican control of both of their houses of government. That's what gerrymandering is usually set up for. And so we've had there, going back some time ago, the students were upset, protesting against what they call the regressive policies that were coming out of state government. Such things as deep cuts to unemployment insurance, racist voting suppression laws, raising taxes on the poor while giving the rich huge tax breaks, restriction on Medicaid. Students from across the state join this protest movement. College campuses high school. Not only that, the parents, grandparents, ordinary citizens, and you know where that led to. Remember this Moral Mondays? It's still going on, and it's still a cry from people in North Carolina that we need Moral Mondays all across the country. Listen to the things that the students were upset about. Cuts to unemployment insurance. Racist voting suppression laws. Raising taxes on the poor in order to give huge tax breaks to the rich. Restricting Medicare eligibility. And of course, cutting the ed budget and drafting draconian rules pertaining to education in that state. Florida, the youth there, this is just one example. They rose up to defend a student that had been pushed out of high school. A young woman brought a science project in school, and it went sort of like haywire. The teacher understood. The dean, I remember this really well. The dean, someone from the administration heard the explosion, looked into it. That was it. But shortly after that, it became a big deal. Student was a great student, no discipline problem, heading to college. Student got suspended and was being looked at for how they could expel the students, this particular student. Well, the students at her school and elsewhere rallied, got totally involved, thought the suspension was totally uncalled for, and the expulsion proceeding was even more so uncalled for, all because a science project went sideways. But what they were really, really pushing, they were aware of the fact that Florida has one of the most insidious school-to-prison pipeline in the country. And that this student, their associate, their colleague, was being pushed out of public schools and being pushed in. Oh, in fact, she was put into an alternative school, waiting the school district decision or whether or not they were going to expel her, which both instances of being pushed into the alternative school and the process of being expelled from the district are steps that involve being pushed out of school and pushed into the school to prison pipeline. They were protesting that. I don't know of any adults in the last 5 years who have mounted any kind of movement over the school to prison pipeline. Adults are getting involved now, currently, in the last maybe year or so or two, but this was happening back in 2013, 2014. Again, I'm trying to draw your attention to the kinds of issues students get involved in versus teachers and teachers union failing to get involved in these broader issues. And these are issues that are very important to students and their survival, both in school and as adults. Dartmouth university, the students there, along with the faculty and alumni, which again, I'll say again and again and again, us teachers, if we've been teaching for any length of time, we should have hundreds if not thousands of students that we've taught in the past who still lives in the city, still lives in maybe the district, who have kids going to schools there in the district. Tremendous, tremendous source of support if we were to reach out and galvanize them as part of the movement that we need to launch in order to have a shot at trying to save public education. Back to Dartmouth. These students here, they got involved because in their views, the university was had a culture that was deeply entrenched in hate. And many college campuses have, all schools have cultures. You know, your public schools, elementary, middle schools, high schools, private colleges, universities, have a culture that we all have to come in contact with. You know, do they support X, Y, Z? Are they against A, B, C? Are they corporate leaning or are they Democratic leaning? That's part of the corporate, you know, the college or university culture. And at Dartmouth, the students there, along with some of the faculty, faculties at universities are so timid in many, many cases, and you would think that they would be leaders. No. But I digress because that pisses me off. But what I'm trying to say is that the students at Dartmouth, they got upset because of the culture of their campus they thought was embedded with hate, and that this would affect their lives as students. And they took direct student action and formal protests, sit-ins, and et cetera. We didn't hear a lot about that. In Philadelphia, hundreds of students walked out against budget cuts. The walkout was led by the Philadelphia Student Union. Those students, high school students, got together. They formed what they call a Philly Coalition advocating for public schools. They've got parents, teachers, alumni, community members to all advocate for keeping their schools open and making their schools better. Philly was undergoing what Chicago, New Jersey, and other urban centers were undergoing at the time and still are doing. Massive school closure. You know about Chicago when Rahm Emanuel set out to close well over 100 schools, something I think is like 150, and bring in charter schools. Well, these were students who said, no way in hell are we going to let this happen without a fight. Notice, I didn't say, well, there were teachers involved, but in all my research, now I'm going to make a statement. I can't back it up with hard historical data. But when these students get involved, I've not found any instance where local and or national unions have come to the aid or assisted, got involved, supported student movements, students' action. Now, you guys may know better than me, the teachers and the parents. I do the research, and if the media is not covering it, then I'm limited in terms of what I know. So if you know more about this than I do, would appreciate a heads up on this from you. In Philly, they joined together for the purpose of trying to save their schools and then make their schools better. Underlying all of this was the students were aware of and understood and had an emotional engagement that led them to take action against the school board having a 5-year plan to close public schools. They were having none of it. Chicago, we know about Karen Lewis and the union and et cetera, but there were other skirmishes that the students and other schools took on and got involved. One that did get some attention was Lincoln Park School, where the students walked out. They walked out in a protest and an effort to save their teachers' jobs. Check this out. A group of teachers, 8 to be exact, got together and tried to institute or implement a wall-to-wall international baccalaureate program. For those of you who may not know what that program is, it's somewhat of a competitor to AP courses, advanced placement courses, but it's a integrated program that some, quote, elite schools have adopted. Their whole curriculum is from this international baccalaureate program. Very, very, very supposedly highbrow, not computer-driven. I will lay that in. These teachers tried to implement this. They got fired. Students came to their rescue in the form of a massive walkout. They're trying to save their teachers' jobs and to support teachers' effort to raise the quality of the curriculum that these students were being exposed to. Hats off to them, of course. Providence, Rhode Island, another example here. The state there, like so many states, were attempting to adopt what they call the New England Common Assessment Program and make it a requirement that you have to meet or get a certain grade or certain mark in order to be able to graduate. You know what I'm trying to say here, graduation requirement. Many states have and districts have now added some burdensome requirements that you must successfully complete in order to be able to get your diploma. Forget about the fact that you spent 4 years and you've been assessed by your teachers and you have a 3.0 or 4.0, matters not. It's the assessment, the high stakes standard or tests, if you want to call it that, that you have to pass. Here in New York, it's the Regents exams. If you don't pass the Regents exams, you don't get a diploma. And you can take it so many times until you do or give up, regardless to what you've done the previous 4 years in school or the school that you attended in terms of its reputation for high quality or not. Students took on, and this, again, notice I keep saying student unions. Where they have student unions, you'll find that there are more activity going on in form of what students are doing to protect their schools, protect the quality of their schools, or to lobby for increase for the funding, and to protest states piling on ridiculous requirement. You know what, in Chicago and elsewhere now, it's you have to have a college or career plan. If you don't, you can't graduate. I'm sorry, folks. I have to say, what the hell is that? You go to school for 4 years, you do all the things, jump through all the hoops, and then some jerk as a mayor says, oh, now you're going to have to college a career plan and in some schools, or you have to say that you're going to join the military. That will satisfy this requirement. You got to go to war in order to get your... I'm sorry, folks. I'm getting pissed off, and I'm trying not to go places that I would normally go here, but I think you know what I'm saying. You can't graduate from high school after putting in 4 years of work and people telling you in the middle of that that, oh, here's some additional requirements that have nothing to do with the education that you have attained that far and meeting the requirements that were in place when you started, as if that was a contract that no longer exists. Anyway, this is one of the things that schools are doing when kids are up in arms again. So, to continue, Louisiana, students there got really, and parents too, got really upset. You remember Emblem, that partnership between Gates and Rupert Murdoch, where they were going to collect all of this data, 600 data points? And in New Orleans or in Louisiana, the students rose up, they fought it, what they call data theft, that schools would be able to give without their permission, parents' permission, all this data. Just another thing that I want you to be aware of in terms of what students themselves have gone to war over. Here's one for you. In my former home state, California, a city about maybe 100 and some odd miles from me, Pomona, the city of Pomona, California, not even home, sorry. Pomona, that was only about maybe 50 miles from me. University there, state university there. Students supported cafeteria workers who were fired by a company that they worked for that provided cafeteria services at the university. The workers wanted better working condition, better pay, better treatment. They wanted a voice in what was going on. And of course, like many corporations, no way. They were fired. It was the students who rose up in support of the workers and their unionization movement. The students who reached out to alumni, some faculty, the clergy, and was able to present a solidarity front that successfully got the workers their jobs back and aided in their ability to unionize. One other example, Midwest, again, well, not again, back to the Midwest. University of Wisconsin, Madison. Student, faculty, staff fought the president of the school to try and get the president to cut off a relationship with a company that had bought the rights, more or less, to have their product called the the university's official pizza. You hear what I just said? The university's official pizza. This company gave the university like $217,000, $220,000 for a contract that would allow them to brand it as their pizza as a university pizza. I'm hesitating because that's just so stupid. But anyway, the students went to war, not the faculty, and then got, they attempted to occupy the president's office, the demonstrations, and on and on and on. And this was, to me, it was silly, but the students felt it was wrong, or which I agree, that part wasn't silly. The silliness was about the official university pizza. So, now, back to present day with the time that I have left. There are here and there scattered students forming student unions, students coming together and trying to bring about social change on a larger scale than just with education. I mentioned students now are becoming more politically aware, more now consider running for a school board. Even just recently, the youngest person ever was elected to a school board. I can't remember now the location. And the students in that city supported the candidate. What I'm trying to say here is that there is a lot of student involvement in the social issues of our day, those pertaining to public education, but also those that are pertaining to a wider platform that involves, that impacts them as students today, as adults, parents tomorrow, their family today, their neighbors, their relatives, their fellow students today, but also tomorrow, well beyond the scope of what's happening solely in public education. I'll say this again. This is a tremendous opportunity for teachers. The 4 or 5 million teachers in this country, those are the ones who are, quote, involved with union, but even those who are not. This is what we need to be doing here, folks, is aligning ourselves, allies with the students. Because the students will bring the parents. And then they will bring the community. They will bring millions, millions, tens of millions to the war. We haven't done it, and the questions that I raised earlier, Will it be the students who will be our heroes in this war? Will it be the students who will help turn the tide for us? And will the adults, and specifically the teachers individually, absent their union, who will join with the students and become part of this massive resistance that we need, not just for saving public education, but as I said, the bigger picture, the privatization of everyone and everything. My time is up. Barely touched the surface on what I really wanted to say, but maybe come back another day with this. Thanks, everyone. Hope you have a good rest of this day, Sunday. See you next week. Thank you.
Join us again next time as we explore and become aware of the most pressing problem of our time, education, corporate America, and their unholy alliance.